Well, our speaker today is someone who is, you know, it's very dear to my heart. I asked him to be here this week for a reason. And, you know, it's a thing where he loves this church and this church loves him. And he played such a role in my life to, you know, I was thinking about it the other day, Herb, when, you know, when I first got right with the Lord, you know, I got in with Mel and everything, you know, but, you know, Mel was the rough side of things. You know, it was, yeah, it was, you know, tough apples, that was his favorite saying, you know. But you were the grace side for me. And, you know, Herb loved people. And he, God hooked me up with him, and he took me making hospital calls together. Remember, we did that? And we had visitation back then. I know some of you, most of you don't know what visitation is. They did that back in the Stone Age when the cavemen were going from cave to cave. And he actually, you know, he knew what I needed. And we would go to visit people that were not in church, and, you know, and we would go visit them, and he would talk to them, and then he would say something like, well, you know, Bob just got right with the Lord. And he's turned to me and he'd say, hey, Bob, why don't you give him your testimony? And he gave me my first opportunities to tell people what God had done in my life. And he built a confidence in me. And I'm somebody, and I've told you this many, many times, I have a lot of faults and I have a lot of issues, but ingratitude is not one of them. My life saying is always take care of those who take care of you. And he made an impact in my life, and that's why I want him here this week. Because I know he'll do with your kids what he did with me. He is a senior statesman when it comes to loving people and showing people how to do that. And I'm so happy to have him here, and he means the world to me. His wife was going to come, Judy. She's a sweetheart, but she's having surgery coming up, and the doctor didn't want her to fly. But we'll have him back out there again, here again. But I just want to thank her for coming. I want us to love him and to appreciate him. And the investment that he made in my life is why I'm here today and why I can love you the way I do. And he's going to carry that on in his segment of the camp this week to try to instill that into your kids. So Herb, come on up here. I love you, buddy. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Thank you for being in my church.
Love you, man.
We love you, buddy.
What a blessing. Amen. So, Katie, applaud you, pastors. All right. A lot of times people throw things at the pastors. We're blessed to have him and his wife as friends. Barb goes through a whole lot. Wonderful things, though. And their kids and their grandkids. I thank God for their love for Jesus Christ. How many granddads could stand up here with a granddaughter and love on her? And her be glad to have that happen. That's just real.
Amen.
And that's the blessing. That's what you want to have. And there's none of us perfect. I noticed my brother brought me a baptistry here, so I'll drink out of it. But what a blessing God's given this church. I didn't know that you'd gotten a new building until Bob and I were driving around. He got lost the other night, and we were just driving. And he said, yeah, we got the new building. I said, really? And then his wife took me through the whole place. I thought, boy, the hand of God and the artistry. What a privilege. God was preserving this place for you. And what a blessing that so many of you reach out to find other individuals there. I love the singing of this dad and his kids here. I'm a little jealous of them. I was Bible college, and they asked, they said, everybody can sing. I thought, well, God bless, that's my chance. So I went in, and they said, well, do the do-re-mi. And so I went, do-re-mi, fa-so-la-ta-do, whatever. And the two musicians at Bible college looked at me and just simply said, save your money. So it didn't cost me anything, but my wife said, well, at least you know what your real ministry is. It is not singing. And but what a blessing to have kids sing like that. What a blessing to cheer them on, and the young people that you have, and the kids going to camp. I'd been working for the Federal Reserve and had a great job. I didn't know you couldn't work for somebody without being through all the college. I was 17 years old, and they hired me. I had to just put my hands around $1 million. I couldn't take it with me, though, but at the Federal Reserve in Houston. But I'd gotten saved by a gentleman, Mr. Elliott, just a laborer in our church. His kids, two boys, I always used Stacy Adams shoes like that and things like that when I was a kid. Polish those things, spit shine, guys know what I'm talking about. And they come over to visit me and they say, Mr. Hub, won't you come to church? I said, get off my shoes, kid. And they'd stand on my shoes trying to talk to me. But anyway, he kept after me and I went. And I got saved. I am so thankful that a layperson in that church, wasn't the pastor, but a layperson in that church loved me enough to keep bugging me to come to the house of God. How many of you had someone invite you to church? Anybody? Isn't that neat? Yes, it's everybody. And that's the way it ought to be, sharing the love of Christ with somebody. Tonight, this morning, I'm going to talk to you about how to build a great closet. We thought about throwing out some of these bags of things here, but we thought that would not be too good just to leave that. How many of you have closets at home? How many of you wish you could clean it out sometime? Yeah, it happens sometimes. We're going to look at that in a couple of minutes. But, you know, our Lord Jesus wants us to learn something, and it always comes from the Word of God. What I say, you can always check it out with a book. And Pastor Bob would say the same thing. Learn from the book. I want you to watch this little short video about the power of words. Okay? Can we kick it on? I see him back there coming up. So listen to this. I'll be right back here.
We're way out in the Aleutian Islands, getting ready to leave and go back to Anchorage and then home. And I had a ticket in my pocket to get on an airplane. A pastor came up and he said, listen, I can save you money. I said, how's that? He said, I flew a small airplane up here and I fly a small airplane and I can take you in my little airplane and you can save your ticket. And this did not sound, I said, gee, thank you so very, very much. But I've got this ticket. We'll just make our way on home, me and this other lawyer with me. He said, no, you gotta do it, you gotta do it. And against every better judgment I had, I said, okay. Well, we went out to the airport, took us by his little plane, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, one good thing, it's shiny. Then he walked around it. We got in. He's on the left front, I'm on the right front. The other lawyer's sitting right behind me. And he started it up, and it started up just fine. Well, we taxied out. I said, should we pray? He said, yeah, that's a good idea. We normally don't. I said, well, this time we're gonna. And I'm telling you, I prayed 5-8 minutes. I prayed a long time. We went and got on the runway. He starts down the runway. The plane lifted off ever so gently, and we start climbing. And it's wonderful. Not a problem in the world. We started climbing, and we flew probably 3-4 minutes. And something happened that will never leave my mind. The pilot turned to me and he said, we're going in the clouds and I can't fly in clouds. They make me pass out. I said, clouds make you do what? Now, it's been cloudy all day. And we go right up into the clouds and you can't see anything. And he looks at me and his eyes roll back in his head. And he starts mumbling and he passes out. Passed out cold. Now I grabbed him and I shook him and I said, come on, you got to wake up so I can kill you. Now we're in the clouds flying along with no pilot. And my friend in the back seat said, we're dead, aren't we? I said, there's a very good chance of that, yes. He said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. But there was a radio right there and I handed him the microphone and I said, start asking for help. So he's in the back seat reaching up and he said, hello, hello. We didn't know any proper radio etiquette. All we were saying was hello. And somebody answered back, hello, hello. Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette? And I said, give it to me. I said, we don't know nothing. Tell him we're in an airplane with a passed out pilot and we don't know how to fly this plane. The guy said, I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo. And he said, you're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you? I said, tell him that's correct. Now you got to understand, I am sweating bullets. He said, the first thing I'm going to do is start circling so I don't lose you, because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore. And he said, I'm going to get Anchorage emergency for you. An Anchorage emergency will be the people that can maybe help you. Try to save your life. After about 5 minutes, Anchorage came on, said, we understand you have a passed out pilot, and those of you do not know how to fly that plane. We said, that's right. They said, well, the first thing we got to do is find you. And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, my job is to get you home safe. He said, that's my job. But he said, here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you got to promise me you'll obey my voice. He said, you can't see me, but I can see you. And he said, if you're not going to obey my voice, you're going to die. When you can't see anything, you have no idea how disorientated you become. Finally, he said, okay, I found you. Now hear me clear. He said, you're 4 minutes from a mountain. He said, you're going to crash in that mountain and die. Follow my voice. I never said, I have to follow your voice. Is that reasonable? You see, I understood without his voice, I had nothing. And do you understand? Without God's voice, you have nothing. Nothing. Finally, he got us turned. And he said, I'm freezing all the traffic in the area. He said, it's going to take me an hour and a half to get you to Anchorage, and there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride. And he said, I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm, just my voice. He said, if you start watching the storm, you will die, but I'll take you through it. Now, because they cleared all the traffic, several pilots, those nighttime freighters, those 747s, started talking to us. They said, we're praying for you, men. You're going to make it. But listen to the voice. That's the key. They said, trust the voice. Do you realize your head is full of voices? And everybody in this world wants to talk to you. And everybody wants to be the controlling voice. And God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice. Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. And then the voice came back and it said, now, I'm going to line you up. He said, I'm going to bring you in right down the runway. And at the foot of the runway are some lights, and they're in the form of a cross. He said, don't you forget this. The cross is the way home. Finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, stay with me. My sheep, the Bible says, hear my voice and they follow me. Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop, and the minute we stopped, the pilot woke up. The voice said, thanks for listening. I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they get the voices in their head and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. Thanks for listening to the voice. Then they put us in a motel room, and about 4 in the morning, they knock at my door. And I opened the door and a man was standing there. He said, hello, David. I said, you're the voice. You're the one who got me home. He said, I am. Do you understand? One day you're going to stand before him and say, you were the voice. You're the voice that brought me home. If you're not on that altar as a living sacrifice, your head's full of voices. And then we wonder why kids crash and burn. We wonder why marriages are shattered. And the Lord's saying, I'm the one who has the voice. All I can remember is that voice saying, stay with me. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head and don't watch the storm. Stay with me. And I'll take you through. Tonight you have a God who has promised to take you through. A living sacrifice, holy.
God has entrusted you something that in our day and time is not happening all the time. A new place, new building. Now, if you can find some parking places, it'll be amazing what God wants to do through this ministry. This is not the end for you. This is just things. And so we did most of it there. And he said, now I'm going to come over. Now, he may be over there at my house now, I don't know. And I'm going to throw away a whole lot of things that you think were good clothes. Well, they really aren't. They've been around for 15 years or something, but I can't get rid of them. So I'm going to hold on to them because I like them. But when I go back, I'm sure most of them are going to be gone. My daughter says, Dad, those are unflattering things that you have in your closet there. Nobody wears those anymore. And so I'm having to learn that there's some things I need to get rid of. You know, in our mind, it's something we need to think about. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, but his delight's in the law of the Lord. In that law, he meditates day and night, and he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf doesn't wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff that the wind blows away. You know, in life, you can be listening to the voice. Or if you're not careful, you listen to everything else that goes around. And it's chaff. And we have a spiritual closet. If we're not careful, we can take things in there that'll mess us up for the long run. And we need to build a new closet. This church, you're in a whole different, new, wonderful, thank God, dynamic. And you'll be going through some things you want to repair and change. That's great. But don't lose sight that you're here as God's kids. He wants to do something with you. There's a fellow in the Bible who God wanted to do something with. He's in the book of Judges, chapter 6, if you'll turn there. He loved the Lord, but they were going through a difficult situation. For 7 years, the country of Midian, in Judges chapter 6, verse 1, Israel had been under their heel. And you may be here today, and you may be a believer, and these people believed in the Lord God Jehovah. How much was another ball game? And they began to cry out to God after 7 years. Things going bad all the time. I see Christians sometimes who have gone through a trial, and that trial got the best of them. And instead of getting a blessing, say, all right, God, how are you going to work through my life through this thing here? But I want to praise you regardless. Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the benefit of blessing people. Ephesians chapter 4. No corrupt communication. It's awfully easy to tuck in my mind things that are don'ts. Things that, well, I don't know about this now. Things that says, I don't know if I can get that done. You know, as Christians, all around us, there are voices trying to talk to us. And God wants us to listen to His voice. Judges chapter 6, they were delivered in the hand of Midian. And you come on down in the... They cried to the Lord in verse 7, because the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, chapter 6, verse 8, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all the oppressed, those who oppressed you, and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. God is trying to help them remember what I've done in your life. And if you come to faith in Christ Jesus, it's a miracle. It's, don't lose sight of the fact people getting saved, it's a miracle. I came from a family that had a lot of messed up things in it. About a month ago, I buried my brother, who was a Marine. He knew the Lord, but he got away from serving the Lord. I would go to him, and he'd ask me, what do I need to do with the kids that I have? And I would share it with him, and he'd say, listen, I don't want you to be preaching at me. I said, I'm not preaching, I'm just telling you what the Word of God said. He chose to go a way that I wouldn't recommend, though. And it's showing up still. Had another brother, unfortunately, he owned a bar. Someone came in and killed him. And my family was sort of like that. My mom and dad were good, they'd go to church, but so many of my brothers chose not to do that. And when I came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I really didn't have much of a friend. Because all the ones I knew, those are not the ones. Now, I wanted to witness to them, but I need someone to help me grow. And I'm so thankful that a pastor's son, who was younger than myself, kept bugging me about being in the house of God, bugging me about coming to this thing, going in, bugging me. And I didn't realize that he was discipling me. And I thank God that he loved me enough that he irritated me to come to these good places. And if someone irritated you enough to bring you here, you ought to say, thank God that you did that. But you know, that's really what we need to be about, because I need to learn a different language. Boy, did I. I need to learn a different walkway. I need to learn a different pathway of what I watch and what I see. And so here, God is doing what he always does. He lets us know what's going on and what I've done for you there. He talked to him there. He said in verse 10 of chapter 6, I'm the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Oh. And there came an angel of the Lord, sat under the oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. It's tough to thresh wheat by or in a winepress. That's not up on the hill with it. The wind will blow the chaff away. He was doing it in a hiding place. And now, I'm glad he was trying to do it, but it showed how oppressed they were. He could not do what he needed to be doing. He was trying to thresh wheat up and just go up and fall right back down because the wind wasn't able to blow away. It wasn't there to blow away the chaff there. And so the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. I love that. I wrote in my Bible, it said, you know, God's what we can be in his strength. God's what we can be. It tells us what we can be in his strength. I don't know what goes on in your life. I don't know what you've been listening to. I don't know who you know. I don't know who talks to you. But I know this. God has a plan that can bless your life. Now, you'll go through trials because anytime you serve the Lord, you've got an enemy, Lucifer. But he wants to work in your life. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Had he not listened to the voice, he would have gotten nowhere. And if I don't listen to the voice, I won't get anywhere either. And neither will you. Just coming to church on Sunday, thank God for it. And what a wonderful blessing and encouragement that it is. But are we listening to the voice as we fly through life every day? Do you take time with him? This book should not depart out of thy mouth. Are you listening to the word? And so he said, the Lord's with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon was, though not listening to that, he had what I call a soul talk. I read this thought here. Soul talk is when you speak to the inner you, your soul. These words can influence you, and they can ruin you if you're not safe. You can be out here singing, it is, and boy, Danny does a great job with the music here. And a pianist over here, love watching her just play the piano. She blesses my heart with her excitement there for the Lord. And, you know, when you see people at the door, thank them for keeping these things going on here. I couldn't have gotten anything up here if I wanted to. You got a guy back there, gets it all going. Make sure you say thanks to people. When you go pick up your kids, tell the teachers thank you. Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. And God calls us to be edifiers to people wherever you are. What an opportunity it is. When you go see those little, that little one that was here, how old was she? About 2 years old or three, something like that? Good night. What an opportunity. Thank the dad and the mom for trying to bless those kids and use, and them be used of the Lord. What can you do for Jesus? Oh, there's no, I'm a Gideonite. Because here he is. You're a man of valor, verse 12. And Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with me, why then is all this befallen us? He'd been talking to himself. And I've had some times when I'd be singing like songs like, it is well with my soul, but inside I'm thinking about some other things instead of being well with my soul. Thinking about this needs to be done, that needs to be done. Why is this? Why is that? Boy, that, and that soul talk is something that can eat you if you're not careful there. You know, people saying it is well, they do the choruses three or four different times and they go sit down and they don't feel like, isn't it well? It's a great song. It is well. It is well with my soul. Then you sit down and inside it's churning. You don't know what's going on. Something's going on that's not good. And around you are the problems you have to live with where your society is and so on. And your soul is trying to talk to you, but not the way that God wants to talk to you. We don't recognize it. It's a thought closet, some people would say. You know, it's you got these thoughts up here, full of hidden thoughts, full of secret insecurities. We all get those things there. It can eat you alive. Once in a while, we take it out and we listen to it too much. We can be a grace giver or we can be a grief giver. Bible says, therefore, bless we God, James 3:9, even the Father, and therefore with we curse men who are made in the similitude of God. Isn't it amazing? The same mouth blesses one way and then listens to that closet word and can't be used. God looks at you and looks at me and says, let no corrupt communication, Ephesians 4:29, proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good, which is for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I have people look at me sometimes and say, why do you always say, my pleasure, my privilege? And I just look back at them and say, because it is my privilege. I could be going to hell, and I'm being able to help somebody. What a privilege that is. And all of us don't look at things you can't do, but God, how can I bless somebody else? You see something, and do you see the negative, or do you say, hey, Lord, what can I learn from this? God wants us to do this. That word corrupt, let no corrupt communication, something that is rotten, tears down, makes it unfit. I've always appreciated this about Bob. He knows the Word, and others in this church know the Word of God, and their goal is for you to grow in that. You young adults, one of the greatest things you can become, or a man or a woman who knows the Word of God and how you can put it into your life on a daily basis. Because Satan wants more than anything else for the young adults of this church to crash. Wants you to get tired of something. Well, I've been praying about this and nothing's happened. Well, that's not the issue. The issue is, are you going to be faithful to God? If God wants something to happen, He'll give me the Word of God and I can follow that. But boy, the flesh is awfully earthly bad to your soul. Bible says death and life in Proverbs 18:21 are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Your kids are going to camp this week. The workers' ministries are to help them to see that following Jesus is the most important thing they can ever do. And maybe they already know that, but they're there then to reinforce them in that. And then not only that, but to help them in a new stage in their life to grow in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ that He'd have them do. And I hope that you'll be praying every day, Lord, bless those people who'll be working with these kids and make it a special time in their heart there. Wow. Bible says the words of a talebearer are wounds. They go down to the innermost parts of the belly, Proverbs 26:22. Whose words do we listen to? Here, Gideon, this angel just said, the Lord is with thee, verse number 12. He said, if the Lord's with me, why then is all this befallen us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord's forsaken us, delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. See what he's blaming God for everything. Boy, it's awfully easy. You're saved. You love the Lord. An issue comes up in your life. Instead of saying, Lord Jesus, I commit myself to you. Give me wisdom to walk through this situation. God, why did this happen? You ever had that happen? Why did you let that take place? That can happen easily. It can happen in a marriage. It can happen in whatever. And your kids, mom and dad, watch you for signals, and they don't even know they're doing that. Are they listening to God? Is he teaching us? Or are mom and dad walking just in their emotions? God, you forsook us, he said, verse 13, delivered us. What a negativity in his closet. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? I love that. God wants to do something in your life and in my life. Bible tells us about a wholesome tongue in Proverbs 15:4. It's a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. You know, what you say can bless people or blast people. All of us have that capacity. Pleasant words are as in honeycomb, Proverbs 16:24. Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 27:9 says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Have you blessed somebody this last week? Last month? And I, it's a wonderful thing to be able to do that. I ate in the airport, and airport food's not the best in the world. And these sweet ladies who were working behind the counter where I was, it was a good sandwich I got. I finished up, and I walked out back to where they were. I said, I just want you to know something. That's one of the best sandwiches I've had in a long time. And their whole countenance changed. I was being serious. It's an amazing thing. Your tongue has the capacity to bless people unbelievably. And I've had people say, well, no one ever blessed me. Well, I can see why. And there are people like that. But one of the greatest things you can do, how can I reach out to somebody? How can I say something to someone else? What can I say to other individuals there? And again, it's so easy to be negative. No one's ever done this for me. Well, that's not what you're talking about. Your responsibility, my responsibility, as the children of God, how can I be used to reach into other people's life? And I don't do it by negativity. I need to do it by loving them enough to say, hey, let me tell you about my best friend. You can tell them about Jesus. It's amazing how that can happen. Got off a plane, told the pilot, hey man, that was a great flight. And it was. We landed. And, you know, and he said, hey, thanks a lot. How many people do you know where you work? Maybe there's someone over you, whatever. Are you able to give them a blessing? You see, it's an amazing tool. And I do a ministry called Marketplace Chaplains. They pay us to go into businesses, and the business pay for us to come into there and walk through all the hundreds of people, what do they have in their business, and just minister to them if you can. What a privilege. I don't want to walk in there and say, man, you got a sorry job here, and then go see someone else. That's not what I'm supposed to do. But to talk to young men, black men who are getting in the work business, white guys, all of them, and hey, I'm impressed with what you're doing. And being mean, meaning that about. And then their whole countenance changes. You know what God calls all of you to be? Be lights for other people. And here's Gideon sitting there saying, light my eye, Midian's about to kill us. And God looks at him and the angel, boy, you talk about sharing good news. Gideon, listen, we got something going great here. And I want you to go in your might that you may save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Oh, my Lord, verse 15. Wherewith shall I save Israel? My family's poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least of my father's house. How's that for an attitude? I'm a quitter, God. I can't do anything. And I can't do anything against those guys. Angel, listen. My family's poor. I'm the least in my father's house. And by age-wise, I don't fit in. I don't know what kind of a family you came from, but I know this. God wants to do something in your life here today. My brothers were known for some things. And I know people looked at me for a long time because of where I was. And I, by the mercy of God, had people who sought to minister to me and help me to say, hey, walk this way. I'll be there to be help you there. And it took something in their life to put into my life. Those of you going to camp working with these kids, realize this. They don't know what direction they need to go, many of them. But you can share the love of Christ, not beating on them and not throwing tons of scripture at them, but loving them and sharing a key verse that means an awful lot to your life. It's an amazing thing that God wants to do. And so here's this dude here. What in the world? He said, I'm the smallest, I'm the poorest. And the Lord said unto him, and here's the key that changes everything. The Lord said unto him, surely I will be with you. What a blessing that is. How many of you are saved? You know, in your heart, the Holy Spirit of God lives. I remember when I got saved, we'd tell dirty stories and everything else at the Federal Reserve. I walked in into the bank the next day. One of the guys started telling a story. I felt grieved in my heart. I thought, where'd that come from? That was not part of my background. Someone else says something, they start laughing about it. And I thought, this isn't good. And I talked to my pastor, what's going on? I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit of God. I learned it real quick. He said, this isn't what you need, son. And it's amazing, God put me on a different learning track. And all of us need to be on the learning track. It's called the B-I-B-L-E track. Every day in the Word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate day and night. Every day ought to be a time. What a privilege to open the Word of God. And listen, you have great teachers in this church. They can help you get into a Bible study that can help you in the things of God. But being faithful in it. Years ago, by the mercy of God, a man challenged me to be in the Word of God every day. And I've tried to do that. By God's grace, I've done that for about 40-something years. Why? Well, because I need it. I talked to somebody recently. I said, he said he's a Christian. I said, well, you book every day? He said, I try to be. I said, do you eat food every day? He said, oh, yeah. Do you try or do you eat? Oh. And he scowled at me. Can't believe that. I said, what you're telling me is you like physical food more than spiritual food. He walked away. And I wasn't trying to be facetious. What's a priority? What's a priority? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, to get it in your mouth, you got to get it in your head. Get it into your heart first. Thou shalt meditate there. You know what meditation is? Anybody farmers here know about, rumination? Who knows what rumination is? Not ruination, rumination. Rumination is that cow will get a cud and chew on it and swallow it. Got the juice out of it. Then after a little bit, comes back up, it'll chew on it again. Because it picked up some, got some more juice and chewed on it. Cows like it, hon. Don't worry about it, okay? She's the one going, oh, no. But take that book. And that's what meditation is for us. And if you're not into it, I can promise you this. You hurt yourself. If I'm not careful, I reach an opportunity and I don't even know it. But just like the man was telling that lawyer on that plane, do this, because you're going to crash if you don't. And I need to be in the Word on a daily basis so the God of heaven can talk to me. Why would God want to give me an opportunity and a blessing if I don't learn what He wants me to do? And that's God has that for all of us, to be used in a great way in His life here. So here's this dude, good night, and we've heard the story of Gideon before. The Lord said, I'll be with you. And then he said, and well, he asking the, well, Lord, will you give me a sign on the thing? And so God did it, and he got a sign and all these different things there. And verse 22, he said, oh, Lord God, for because I've seen an angel of the Lord face to face. The Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. And Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it, I love it, Jehovah Shalom. Now, Gideon was scared before this, but when the angel of the Lord began talking to him, he began listening to a different track of truth, and when he came out speaking now, he said, Jehovah Shalom. That means Jehovah, peace. And there's only one book that's really going to give you peace. It's this book. And God wants to build that into our life, and it takes keep every day letting him speak to your heart. Do you get up in the... How many of you had an alarm clock go off this morning? How many have an alarm clock go off? How many had an opportunity clock go off? Well, that's not fair to say that. Is it an alarm? Well, it's not an alarm. It's an opportunity. Amen? All four of you, I appreciate that. When you wake up in the morning, thank you, Lord. My wife sleeps a little heavier than I do sometimes. Barb knows you. She said, why are you so happy when you wake up? I said, I'm sorry, I'll try not to be. Why not? My Father has given me another day. Why not? God gives you an opportunity to gather in the house of God, meet some folks from over in England, and funny talk from England. I'm from Houston, Texas. We talk different than everybody, so you're okay. Okay, you guys, you're right there. But no, thank God, brothers and sisters from wherever, getting to meet them in the house of God. This is the best crowd you're going to be in all this week. And rejoice for it. Thank somebody for it. Nobody ever thanked me. I can see why. Boy, let God clean out the closet. Those concepts that said, well, I can't do anything. That concept that says, well, I really can't understand the Bible. They'll give you Bible teaching in this church plus Bible teaching individually with individuals. I've taken guys like that and done that. I remember when the first, Bob didn't tell you all about me and him going out there. Now, he talked about going with me to the to hospitals and things. He didn't tell you about going out shooting things that we used to shoot, but we'll leave those there. But fun to be around. And then to watch that young man do the gospel in the stars. Realize that God had something special in his life. And may I say this, it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit of God. Because I remember he came to me at a church during a revival and asked me if I would help him on some things. And God's blessed him with some brilliance, and really. You were gifted here. And I hope you let them know, he and Barb and their family and others who all do all they do, express appreciation. Nobody expressed it to me. Learn to do it anyway. Step out in the thing. Hey, listen. He said, how am I going to save Israel? The angel said, I'll be with you. And so he called the place Jehovah Shalom. Isn't that neat? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Bible says in Proverbs 12:25, heaviness in the heart of a man makes it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Everybody in this building faces trials. Every one of you will have some things going in your life you wish you could change. Every one of you may be going through the deepest valley you've ever gone through. But I can promise you this, if you'll get into the Word of God, maybe the Gospel, the Psalms or whatever, wherever you start reading, God Almighty will reach down and give you a hope that you need to have. Just as that man that was in that plane, the clouds were there, and the airport got in touch with him. God will get in touch with you if you let him. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Success comes from putting Jesus first in your life, putting his word in your life. It's a gift from God. It's interesting. You know, wise shoppers, they fill their closets with good things there. And then in the pantries, they put good foods there. God wants us to do the same thing. Bible says, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword. but the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 12:18. Bible says, heaviness in the heart makes it stoop, but the good word maketh it glad. I read that already. Proverbs 12:25. What am I saying? I'm simply saying this morning, God wants to talk to you. He wants you to listen to him. And listening to Bob and the other people, wonderful. And you need that. And God's given you a very gifted leadership people and others in this church. When you sang the songs of Zion, that's God's word speaking to you also. But let God speak to you on a daily basis. If you don't do it, I can promise you, you won't grow. You've got to give God an opportunity. If Sunday morning's all you get, it's like eating only one time a week. This church knows how to eat. Yeah. But are you eating? And if you're not careful, you can come to church and sit like this. No one's going to change my way. Well, it's fine. You're the loser. Or will you listen to God? Gideon said, okay, Lord, Jehovah Jireh. And we know the story of what they did. They made a tactical invasion against the Midianites, and God gave them victory there. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Wow. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. Wow. God looks at every one of you and he says, listen, I want to use your life. You young people, God wants to use your life. America is going through a crisis. We better wake up and realize it. We better be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let him teach us, because there are going to be some things going on that they'll look at a fundamental church and they'll call it a hate church. It's going to happen. I have no doubt about that. I live in the Washington, D.C. area. Weird stuff are going on. But you know what? God's people will always be able to be prepared to minister in difficult times. Be ready for it there. But the tongue no man can tame. James 3:8. Do you know that? I can't tame a tongue. You can't. It's an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. Wow. God, what do I do then if I can't tame the tongue? Lord Jesus, give me a new tongue. Give me a new heart. Give me a new focus. I promise you that you do that, you'll be amazed what God will do. Learn to memorize his word. When Joshua was going into the land, God told him, this book of the law should not depart out of the mouth. You should meditate day and night so you can observe it. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God's with thee where you go. And he was going into a foreign land that had giants in it, had everybody in it. Most of them in it did not love God, did not care a thing for God. But God gave him Bible verses and said, listen to me, and I'll take you through it. You'll leave out of this church building in a few minutes, and you'll be in foreign territory in one sense. You going to take the promises of God with you? Or are you going to let the emotions of the heart rule? God says, let my word dictate your life and what you're going to do. It's an amazing thing. What will happen? I love to go in a place where everybody looks sour and say, hey, isn't this a great day God's given us? Why not? Why not? Man, it's awesome what God's doing. And they're looking like you. What? Hey, I was going to hell one day and now I'm going to heaven. That ought to be an exciting thing. Well, what will they think if I say that? I don't really care. What I care is he wants me to say it. Now, I want to be nice about it. Why not be about that? I had a chance to preach from the new, what do they call it, place where I preached that yesterday. You were there with us. She's lost her memory over here. But Barb. She didn't. That's another. No, we were at the field house or the football stadium there, and where they do the after the ball game, they have the news guys come in there, and so there was a pulpit there, and so I stand up behind that pulpit, and I wouldn't try to be cocky or anything else there, and all these people coming in there, and so I just started quoting scripture. I thought, why not, you know. My one chance, Stan Ward, the coach of this team, which I really do like, Kansas City Chiefs, where he stands there. and shared the word of God. People were walking in with, why not? And then don't be foolish about it. Why not? Why not? I hear enough garbage coming from people who don't believe a thing about the word of God. Why can't you and why can't I share some good things about things? Amen? Why, and listen, it doesn't matter if they don't like it. That's not the issue. If God likes it, it's pretty well worthwhile. Okay. But be gracious. Be kind about it. Well, why do people... You want to be gracious. Always want to be gracious with people. Don't be foolish. Let God work through your life. I remember I was at Washington, D.C. one time. And we had a meeting. And I want to be careful how I say this. One of the great officials who gave spiritual training to people in the Congress and so on, who... That he was new at this. They brought him in and introduced him to the crowd. Now, based on this individual's doctrine, I would not think that he had the foggiest idea about salvation. But guys were clapping. Baptist preachers were clapping. I'm sitting back there thinking, now, wait a minute. If what I know about this guy's doctrine, he doesn't have it. And so anyway, they were there. And... big crowd that we're in this room there. And people are asking questions, so and say, anybody else have a question? Why not? I was at the back of the place. I mean, it's really a full place of pastors from all over the country. Hey, sir, I have one question. Yeah, what is it, my son? My son. And I said, I'd love it for you to tell this congregation of pastors who are here to tell us, when was it when you repented of your sin, you trusted the finished work of Jesus Christ as your Savior, you asked Him to save your soul from hell to heaven, and you know for sure if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. It was quieter than a tomb. He just stood there and said, I want to be careful, but he was the leader for people in Washington, D.C. to learn something from. That grieved my heart. Now, I had some guys come to me afterwards and say, man, I'm glad you did that. I thought, why didn't you do it? And I don't say that cockily. But dear God, if a guy's lost, why don't we try to tell me there's a way to get out of here? Amen. I walked in the bathroom one time. There's one of them in there. He was washing his hands. I said, excuse me, sir. Yes, my son. I said, somebody mentioned this thing about being born again. Can you tell me what that's about? He dried his hands so fast. I said, do you know what? Born again? Are you born again, sir? He literally ran out of the bathroom. And I don't say that in the wrong side, but I'm just saying the truth of it is, why can't we share the love of Christ to people? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it can minister grace to the hearers. In this congregation, we ought to all be willing to share gracious thoughts, to right thoughts to other people. My heart is, every time I want to cry, I hate that. But I don't know any other pastors will look at a couple who comes in from England and say, hey, listen, we're going to fly you in here again. And then a church says, go for it, preacher. Thank God for that attitude. And somebody said,
amen.
I scared you, right? Well, because that's what we're here for, to bless each other. Well, nobody ever gave me a ticket to England. I'll send you one there and stay there. Isn't that amazing, though? Nobody ever helped me. I see why. Maybe it's the attitude. But thank God. And I'm not lifting him, but thank God, our privilege is, how can I minister to someone else? Come here, first thing I do, one of the guys comes and says, man, you need some water up there. Thank you, man, I really appreciate that. How do I get this thing? And guys are taking care of things all around the place, and girls, and so I'm getting all these things ready. Let them know that you appreciate it. A word spoken in due season, how good it is. Clean the closet. Get rid of the negativism that you have in those things. And there's things of right and wrong you learn about. But learn to speak the right thing. That angel spoke to to this young man who was trying to thresh out wheat in a place where he couldn't do it because he was scared because the Midianites has to come in and kill him. And then after listening to him, he said, "Hey, man, this is Jehovah Shalom." There in verse 24, "God, you're on the throne. I'm going to follow you. There are people all around you. Some of them may be saved. Would to God, all of us, when we get up in the morning, say, Lord, lead me to somebody they can talk to about Jesus. Either who are saved or need to be saved. Why not?" And you know what? You say, don't be afraid that you don't know how to answer all the answers. I've gone many times, "Hey, I don't have an answer for that, but I'll find out one for you if you want it." That's no problem. I'm not embarrassed because I don't know everything. And God looks at you and says, "Will you make your heart available to others by being taking time in this book and do like this young man did, who went from fear to faith?" Gideon. He listened to the word of God, and God changed it, and he called it Jehovah Shalom. Wow. Jehovah peace. Well, if we don't have peace, we're going to have it. But we got the enemy. It doesn't matter. God says he'll give me peace. I believe him for it. And whatever you face in your life, there's a verse in the Word of God or a section of Scripture that can help you to grow and learn God's plan for that area. Sometimes all of us will go through situations that we wish we could change in a moment's time, but we can't. And when we go through those things, what are we going to do? We're going to say, "God, you've left me." No. "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man shall do unto me." I want to challenge you on that. You go out this week, you'll face things that do not believe the things of God like you and I do. That's all right. "Lord, help me to do right." That's why God has you there. Why God has me there. Why can't I be used of God wherever I go? Why can't you be used of God wherever you go? Well, I don't know. They have great Bible studies here that'll get you the Word of God in your heart where you need to have it. But you can begin to talk to people about Jesus Christ. You can begin to share your faith to other individuals in just a gracious way. "Hey, man, you seem happy. Why?" "Hey, listen, man, I'm on a new roadway." I talked to somebody. I said, "Hey, bud, let me ask you a question. And this looks like a man I could talk to here. Doug, that's neat thing you got stand up here. Come up here, sir. Come here. Yeah. I don't have any money, but you can stand up here anyway. Come here, okay? Turn around. Give us a happy face here. Okay." Say, "And I don't even know him. And I come, I got a question for you." "Okay. How many religions are there?"
"In general or actually?"
"How many religions are there?"
"Well, I believe that there's Christianity."
"Well, how many religions are there?"
"I don't know."
"Okay, thank you. All right.
There's Judaism, there's Catholicism."
There's all those things there. You know, I do this when I'm playing golf with guys. I say, "How many religions are there?" Because a lot of those guys are lawyers and people like that there. And they don't, "Oh, there's a lot of them there, you know." And so, "Oh, okay. I mean, well, you know, there's only two." And I walk on off, and I go hit my golf ball, you know. And I say, "You know what they are?" "Okay. How was your golf game?"
"I don't play."
"Okay, all right."
"I do fly airplanes, so."
"I try. Oh, you
know, okay. I can land it."
"Oh, yeah, there you go. You land the plane there. All right. Don't sit down. You're here. All right." Sneaking up on me here, buddy. All right. And so, as long as you know what they are?
"Well,
say no."
"Okay, no."
"Okay." "Well, and I do this all over the place with the people that said, well, there's only two, and it's do and done." And then we go with the golf ball again. I'm walking on down the road there. And he's back there thinking, "Who's do and who's done?" I said, "You know what? You know who do and done is?"
"Do I know what do and done is?"
"Yeah."
"I know what
say
it
no."
"Okay, no."
"Okay." Yeah. But, and seriously, I've talked to about every kind of a religious brand. I said, "It's do and done." And I said, "Do is trying to earn its way to heaven. Done says it's already paid for." And it's like a light goes off. Questions create conviction. And I don't do this thing as a sneaky way, but it's a great way to talk to people. I'm not knocking the religion. I'm not knocking anything else. I said, and then I go hit the golf ball again. Off I go. And he's back there thinking, this and that. I got a question for you. Where are you?
Did I say no again?
Yes.
No. I'll hack this guy. They're catching on.
But it's a reality, though. Most of the guys that I've talked to in that situation, I say, where are you? And I don't know. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he cried out to Telestai. It's a common word in those days for paid in full. And on the cross, he was saying, I've paid your price. I've paid your price. And it's like a light goes off. Wow, I never thought about that. So think about that. I gave him a card. I said, man, you can trust him right now or later. But I want you to know that there's somebody who loves you more than anyone else. And it was Jesus. And this little card goes, it says, do or done. And it's got John 3:16 through 18 on it. That's yours.
Thank you.
You can get back in your plane. Okay,
good.
But what a privilege. Some way, somehow, you work for a fishing pro shop. Oh, I would love to go fishing with you. But then use it. How can I use it? Take something like that with people. Hey, may I ask you a question? Yeah. How many religions are there? Multitudes of them. No, it's only two. And then they're wondering, what are you talking about? It's do and done. Right? Now, those of you who are saved, you understand. And when I meet a believer, they always look at me, there's only two, saved and lost. You know, and that's a blessing. But most people I talk to, they don't know. And so I have the chance to share it with them. And then, boy, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. All of you, only about 3% of people talk to someone else about the gospel. Do you know that? Three Christians. 3%! About 85% of those who come into another church is from another church. How about reaching out to your neighborhood? How about sharing someone else the gospel? Doing it great, lovingly. Don't beat people. That doesn't help anything else. Look for ways you can minister to them. Maybe cook something for them in a tragedy. Do this, do that, do the other. Whatever. Young adults, invite them. Listen, you've got a great group of young adults in this church here. And encourage them to come to some of these things like this. Say, I'll pay your way. I tell guys when I talk to them, if you come to church, I'll buy you a lunch, man. Why not? Buy a lunch and see a guy go to heaven? That's a good deal. I really mean that. I think, man, if they come, I'm broke. I can tell you that. It's going to be. But I do that. Why not? Why not? Why not do what I can with this mouth for the glory of God? Because I'm going to die one of these. And I want to tell people about Jesus before I die.
Amen.
Create every opportunity that you can. Not being foolish. And you can do the same thing. Where you go. And maybe it's a quiet way, but look for a way. Take a track thing like that. But how can I say something to others? Because God gave me this mouth to talk about Jesus. He gave you that. Talk about Jesus. You know what will happen? One day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Who've been faithful to this church, God says, I'm looking down with some special things. This is unbelievable. This kind of a crowd here. Really, I really mean that. Sincerely. Thank God for it. But what can we do to reach those who are lost on the outside? And I'm just asking you today as we close. You know, this guy, it was amazing. He went from casting wheat up by a wine press to winning a battle. And God says, I'll win a battle with you also. If you'll turn your heart to me, you may be saved. But you go to the Lord in prayer today and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to use my mouth for your glory. I want to learn scripture, memorize some of them that I can share it with people. I want not to be arrogant, but I want to have something in my heart that's real. Be amazed what takes place. And I'm thankful that God gave me that. And speaking a word in due season, the Bible says there, as in Isaiah 50, verse 4 again. Isaiah 50, verse 4. Speak a word in due season. Be amazed what God will do for some of us. How it can calm them, how it can bless them, how it can convict them, how it can win them to Jesus Christ, perhaps. All of you, as believers, are called to use your voice some way to reach into the hearts of other people. See, I don't know what to do. Number one, go to God in prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm going to be in the Bible every day. Man, a great place to start. Book of Psalms 119, that talks about the word. But choose a place. Pastor here, the workers can help you into that. And you pray as God shows you things. You pray, Lord, help me to do this. Help me to follow that. You'll be amazed what God will do. And ask God to give you an alertness. So in the morning, when your eyes go ready, but how many of you had the alarm clock go off? Let's do that again. How many had an opportunity clock go off today? There's seven of you. I appreciate that. It's a tough crowd here. God wants all of you. It's an opportunity clock. How can I be used? You go through a place, you pay for something for lunch day, say, hey, great being here. Thanks for serving me here. Here's a thought. Meant a lot to my life. Give them a try. Why not? Minister to somebody. Pray for somebody. Go out to eat. Talk to someone. Hey, is there something we can pray with you about? About 95% of the people I ever do that with say yes, and they share a burden of their heart. And then I say, hey, here's something you can read and take with you there. Why not? Amen? Why not? Someone says, I'm not that brave. It's not bravery. It's serving your king. Serving your king. Serving your king. Be available in that respect. Be amazed what God will do. And make sure those people that you know who've been blessing you, make sure you take time to say to them, thanks a lot for what you're doing. You know, when you know these dear ladies most of the time who watch the kids in the nursery, man, they've been through a gun battle in there. I go by ours and I say, you know what? You're coaching next generation's kids. And to watch their face turn just like that, yeah. Be alert for the Lord. Father, we come to you. I don't know where all these folks are. You do. But Lord, I know this. All of us need to clean out the closet of negativity and ask you to show us how we can be used. Gideon was used and defeated the Midianites. Jehovah Shalom came through. God, our peace. And Lord, you want to give peace and direction to every one of us to tell others about the Son of God. I pray you'll use these people to do that. I thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you, Lord, for the blessed teacher that you led to this town to start this ministry and the co-laborers, his dear wife and his kids and so many others, Danny and all the other folks who labor here and all the folks who greet at the door and all the other things that go on, Lord. But I pray that this church will be used to show this town area the greatness of God and people will trust with Shalom, the God of peace. And Lord, I pray even right now, there may be somebody here who has never trusted your Son as their Savior. May they realize that Jesus and Jesus only can save them. They need to ask Him to be their Savior. Where they sit, they can pray a sinner's prayer and mean it. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me because Jesus paid for my sin. I feel sorry for that religious leader who was in the Congress. And Lord, he had no answer to being saved. And he's there to try to talk to people about God. And Lord, I pray that this congregation will be used, Lord, to expand and reach multitudes more. We ask you, Lord, that you be glorified and help us as we leave here to determine, clean out the closet, negativity, remove it, build the scripture basis in our mind, not to beat people with, but to grow, to encourage them, to challenge their own hearts for your glory. Bless your people, Lord, and bless this upcoming time at camp. Oh, Lord, these young people, Satan will hate it, but God will love every bit of it. So, Lord, bless them. Keep them safe. Keep them from harm. Make it a very special time that they'll remember the rest of their life. In the name of Christ our Savior, I pray.